The FCAT After School Podcast is back for its third season.
Starting January 10th, you'll hear interviews and profiles from Simon Fraser University's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology alumni with lives lived and stories to tell.
Subscribe to the FCAT After School Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be sending a new episode down your feed every other Wednesday starting January 10th.
Or catch us on 90.1 FM CJSF every Tuesday at 4 p.m. starting January 16th.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
My guest today knows the deep joy that springs from simply being alive. This perspective has grown out of her own struggles with stage 4 cancer. It's led her to explore the practice of gratefulness. And she's discovered that living with gratefulness is more than just another task to perform on the to-do list. It's an orientation to life. And Christy Nelson counsels us to avoid getting caught in the hamster wheel of life, forgetting again and again that the present moment is truly all we have, and it's both precious and fleeting. She suggests that the practice of gratefulness is a direct pathway to the qualities of mind and heart then lend themselves to our well-being as it spills over into an experience of true abundance. She can attest to the fact that grateful living adds to the stamina we need for our journey and enhances our relationship to the larger world to which we belong. Christy Nelson is an ambassador for the nonprofit organization Grateful Living, which is founded by the internationally beloved grandfather of gratitude and former guest of New Dimensions, Brother David Stendelrast. And from 2014 to 2022, Nelson served as its executive director. Christy Nelson has spent more than 30 years in nonprofit leadership, development, and consulting, working at the Center for Mindfulness in Medicine and the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health and the Soul of Money Institute. Nelson is a stage 4 cancer survivor and is the author of Wake Up Grateful, The Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. Join us for the next hour as we explore the many aspects of what the practice of gratefulness can bring to our lives with our guest, Christy Nelson. I'm speaking with Christy from her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Christy, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here, Christy. I know in your book, each chapter actually begins with a little vignette of your story. And I know that our readers would be interested in some of the details of your cancer diagnosis and treatment and what it led you to. Just if you could give us a little overview of your years of treatment and what they entailed.
Yeah, I think probably the most important part of it is really how much time I spent sick and not knowing what was wrong with me. And I think that's a really common experience. You know, people have so many acute and chronic illnesses that don't get diagnosed immediately. And yet we have this idea that, you know, that when something's presenting itself, that we're going to get an immediate diagnosis and then be able to get treated. And I spent 9 months, a lot of that hospitalized because I had fevers of unknown origin. And so I just got sicker and sicker. I was 32 when I first got sick. And, you know, it was quite an arduous journey. It was truly extraordinary. And I would say that the most important thing for me about that uncertainty and living with that uncertainty is what I learned in that cauldron, the cauldron of not knowing, and, you know, how much comes alive for us kind of spiritually and emotionally, psychologically, how it's like an advanced degree, you know, to be with that much not knowing for those many weeks and months and everything. So that was very important to me. And by the time I got diagnosed, I was pretty impaired. I had the cancer had metastasized to my spine by the time they got the diagnosis right. And at that time, then I was not really able to walk. And so it was hard. It was a really hard journey. And yet, you know, it's one of those things that I look back on, and the fact that I'm still alive is just nothing short of breathtaking to me every day, which is why I feel like I needed to write the book and why the work that I do is so important and why living my heart out loud every day as much as I can is just an imperative for me from the inside out, because I know the truth that every day is unpromised, and I know the truth that every day is precious. And that is so important when people really get that, how differently we live our lives when we don't take life for granted.
Wow. Yes, for sure. For sure. And I know that your approach to gratefulness, you suggest that we don't have to have a life-threatening illness to actually subscribe to this type of living. And when you finally did start to come back to yourself and feel like, okay, looking at your life, I think you write about this, that you just couldn't fathom going back to the way it used to be. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, earning a living the way you were earning a living or whatever it was you were doing in your life. And what came to you, if I understand this, what came to you, you received 5 guiding principles. Mm-hmm. And they were so lovely. And I'm just going to mention them for our listeners just briefly, and maybe you can say something about it. Life is a gift was one of them. The next one, everything is surprise. That's a great one. The third one, the ordinary is extraordinary. The fourth one, appreciation is generative. I just love that, and I hope we'll talk about that. And the last one, love is transformative. Mm-hmm. So is there any comment you want to make about receiving those or what they are and what they mean to you?
Well, and I'd love to say that I received them like as if I had some kind of, you know, amazing download from the heavens and got hit like by lightning or something. And it was a huge epiphany. But, you know, it actually was in meeting Brother David Steinhorst, who I think this is very important because he's such a profound teacher. He's a Benedictine monk. And I love that he was on New Dimensions. And he's now 97 and he's in Austria and he's still writing. And I just got an email from him this week. And so he's this extraordinary human being, truly. And he had a similar, what I call a wake-up call. So I call cancer a wake-up call for myself, and a lot of people have those. And there's ways that we can wake ourselves up that don't require, as you say, kind of facing death quite so immediately or intensely. And so that's what really the book is about, is how we bring that about in ourselves and live our lives without needing that hanging over our heads every day. But Brother David, these principles really speak to his teachings because he lived through the Second World War. And when in Austria, they were being bombed. He would go and hide in the basements of churches and schools and with his friends, and they would hide. And then they would come out after the bombs had finished falling. And he said, the sky was never bluer. It was that sense of every single moment when you realize how precarious life was, how fragile and fleeting it is, that in that recognition, he experienced a kind of joy by contrast in that awareness. And so these principles really speak to that, or what are the things that we need to remember in order to not take life for granted? And so for him, it was that experience when he was young. For me, it was cancer when I was young. And those are really, really different experiences. And yet they have this common thread through them, which is, if we choose, then we can recognize that the joy that's available to us in realizing that this moment is all there is, and that, you know, Brother David followed Saint Benedict as a Benedictine monk, and Saint Benedict says, keep death always before your eyes. That is the pathway to the deepest life of meaning, to the deepest life of joy, to the deepest life of engagement, is to remember that you're mortal. And so that's where Brother David and I met, really, in that space where these five principles come alive.
I love that. I love that. And as you say that, I'm reminded of a word that you repeat many mm-hmm. times throughout the book. And it kind of surprised me. I don't think I've ever read anybody emphasizing this word, and it's poignancy.
Mm.
And when you tell this story of Brother David, I'm reminded of that word, because here, the bombing, he's holding the fear
yes.
of death and collapse of the buildings, and yet there's joy right there. They kind of exist together, and that poignancy, you point out, have these kind of paradoxical pairings, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think this is one of the things that a lot of people recognize. And in our lives these days, I think there's a longing. There's a true longing. I think there's an increased longing to, and I think that's part of why psychedelics are so important right now in our world, and why people are really deeply wanting to drop into the truths of life in a way that they can hold them. Recognizing that when we face the vastness, we can kind of experience ourselves differently. So there's, I think poignancy is, how I see it, is this awareness of the preciousness. At the same time, we are aware of the fleetingness and the fragility of life. So you hold both these things at once. You treasure something and you know it's not permanent. And how do we do that? Because we've been, you know, in our culture especially, I think we're really trained to attach ourselves to things, to think that we're entitled to them, that we can have expectations, that we are deserving, you know, however it is that we are formed, especially in more capitalist cultures and societies and economic systems. And in the West, I think there's a very pervasive sense of, we get to expect to live, and we get to expect to have our lives unfold in a very particular way. And anything that happens that isn't that becomes a transgression. It's like life has betrayed us. And instead, I think there's a different way to go through life.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Christy Nelson, and she's the author of Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, christynelson.net. And she spells her first name, Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, christynelson.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Christy Nelson, and we're talking about grateful living and living with gratefulness as an orientation to life. And we're talking a bit about impermanence and uncertainty, and I really want to flesh that out a bit. As you say, the way our culture is set up is that, okay, we're supposed to know everything, and we have computer screens that you can know everything. With a touch of a button, you can know the statistic of this or that or the other, or all sorts of things. But in reality, uncertainty is pervasive, actually, and it's the reality of life. So cultivating curiosity towards uncertainty, is that what we might want to select?
I think it's so important, this whole journey with not knowing, I think. And there's all these things, like life is unpredictable, it's uncertain, it's unpromised, it's, you know, all those things are also the absence of something that we've decided is important, right? So that knowing is important, certainty is important, and predictability is important, and being promised is important. And the truth is, I think I like to relate to it as mystery instead of uncertainty in the absence of something. It's the presence of something. And mystery is extraordinarily nourishing if we can allow ourselves to drop in and investigate this relationship to mystery and to what is mysterious and unknowable. And life gets so much bigger when we make a place for that in our lives and in ourselves. And I think it scares people to really enter that relationship with uncertainty knowingly and intentionally. And yet, what gets delivered, people are so grateful to have, to befriend that, so that we're not driven. We're not always in that sense of anxiety about not knowing, right? So that we can be with and befriend. I love that word, befriend. Mm-hmm. We can befriend that experience of uncertainty. And there are certain things and times in life that bring that home really acutely. And I would say the pandemic and COVID, you know, people would be interviewing me and saying, so we're in this time of such uncertainty. And I would say, life is always uncertain. And then we hit certain junctures that remind us that that's the truth. And it's kind of it's the water we're swimming in. It's the air we're walking through all the time. And we do a lot of things. I can speak to this because it's been so true for me. We do a lot of things to try to trick ourselves into believing that we have control over everything. And it takes a huge amount of energy. It takes a kind of willfulness and a vigilance to go through life as if we can expect and predict and know and control what's going to happen to us in any moment, you know, much less a life, you know. So I think there's something that's very beautiful about surrendering in a way to mystery and to allowing that to enrich our lives. And that's meditation, so many spiritual practices.
I'm just thinking as you're talking, you do a great analogy in your writing. You said, okay, if life were a scripted movie, right. You know, then how boring would it be? I mean, we would be sitting there watching a movie and, you know, and it would unfold. And so we would be these passive observers or spectators then. So what you're talking about is really a kind of aliveness to life, and that it is mysterious. And what it invites could be surprising wisdom or a surprise of knowledge or new friends that we never thought we'd meet, a surprise there.
New ways of being.
Yeah, exactly. I was just talking to Omkari Williams, and she was talking about just sitting in a place where she was getting the tires changed on her car. And she started talking to a woman next to her. And they turn out now are lifelong friends, and now they're in circle together and doing all this action things, wonderful things together.
Yes. And she's a good friend of mine.
Oh,
which
goody.
I love. Yes. So I think that's why one of these principles is everything is surprise. And then the second part of that principle is when you open to wonder, life is abundant, because the truth is it's curiosity. It's the exploration. It's all of inviting in what is unknown to us, going closer to it, getting more intimate with it. And then when you use the example of the movie, you know, being already scripted and we would basically have no role in it. It would be like everything was already written, and it's the unknown, it's mystery, which holds possibility. All possibility lives in what has not yet unfolded and our unknown role in that, right? So it's like the idea that everything is kind of already scripted and that we get comfort from that removes our responsibility also, removes our inquiry, our curiosity, our kind of turning this way instead of that way. Creativity comes out of that. Oh, think of the kinds of things that come out of that. So much the questions in life that are kind of unanswerable when we sit with those. What arises is also such a deep sense of interconnectedness with the rest of life.
Yeah, I just wrote down a note to myself to say creativity comes out of possibility. And then you just said that. It was just, we were thinking of the same thing at the same time. I would love for you to say something about, I know that you talk about the miracle that our body is, mm-hmm. and how we might consider befriending our body and the number of forces that have to function and cooperate just to get us out of bed in the morning is just incredible. So talk about the miracle of our body and how we can better befriend it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I like to talk about is what are the things we most take for granted, and how can living gratefully is shifting that. So gratefulness is the opposite of taking for granted. It's about being awake and alive and alert and aware and to all of these extraordinary things that are true within us and around us. So the body is the perfect place to practice this, because we are in it every single moment of every day, no matter where we are. That's our home. So even in a hospital bed, you know, even when I was tethered to intravenouses and we are incapacitated in a variety of ways or whatever, our bodies continue to be miraculous. And the breath is this anchor where we can always find the marvel, because the breath is when you understand what is engaged in just taking a breath, and that we breathe 1,000 times an hour and we are so oblivious to it. We can hardly even imagine what it would be like to really relish this capacity to breathe until we lose it. And that's one of the things I really want to implore people around and myself all the time is, don't wait to lose something to treasure it. Don't wait to almost lose it before you realize how valuable it is. Value it now. And there, so as you say, the body is nothing but extraordinary and miraculous. And to me, it's almost like so mind-blowing that I can hardly even begin to. There's so many facts about the body that are just amazing, and the systems that have to work in synchronicity, in collaboration, and this confluence of things that are happening in every single moment. It's art. It's glory. It's like we couldn't invent this if we tried. What is happening? And we're born, and then we have these bodies, and we live as long as we live. And every single moment that we're alive is because our bodies are doing quite literally a million things. A million things every single day that have to go right and not go wrong for us to continue to be here.
I think you mentioned that, and I looked it up, 2.5 million new red blood cells happen every second.
Can you even get your head around that? Like, that's a hell of a to-do list. Like, what? I mean, it's so just if we can allow ourselves, and what, here's my curiosity, is why do we hold ourselves back? What is it that makes us want to take all these things for granted that could really just hold us in awe in every moment of our lives? So it's like to be curious about that is also worthwhile. If you're not blown away, like David White says, if you're not amazed, like you're not paying attention, and Mary Oliver and these amazing poets, right? The yes. poets are gifts to us because they remind us in their gorgeous eloquence and their succinctness, and they pay attention. Poetry is paying attention. So it's like, we're not paying attention if we're not in awe. We're just not awake if we're not marveling at things all the time. And the fact of just merely the fact of being here is so extraordinary.
So extraordinary. And you remind me when you talk about the breath, going back to the breath, and it actually reminds me of a story that I lived. I was invited in a mortuary, and my good friend was a mortician, and she said, would you like to see a cadaver?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I had curiosity, yes. So I went into this room all by myself, the embalming room, all by myself. And it was an older woman. She probably looked to be in her 80s. I had the experience of experiencing death in my life and seeing loved ones who had died and their funerals and so forth and their caskets and their corpse and whatever you want to call it, their bodies in death. But this time I didn't have any sort of emotional attachment. Mm-hmm, I didn't know this person. And I just sat with her. And the longer I sat with her, I had the realization that the only difference between us was that I was breathing.
There you go.
It was profound, Christy. It was
good for you to say yes to that invitation.
So I want to talk about the breath as a practice.
Yes.
So in just one moment, but I want to also remind our listeners that I'm here with Christy Nelson, and she is the marvelous author of Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, christynelson.net, and she spells her first name K-R-I-S-T-I, christynelson.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe program